is a misconception that you need to see the spirit realm to interact with it. On an unconscious level, you interact with it every day. When you encounter that world, you discover there are beings, names, powers, keys, territories, postures, languages, dignitaries, their laws. Every activity you do strikes a chord in time, but the activities linked to your call that strike a chord in eternity.
From the books of old and the new, the throne room of God and the divine secrets of the spirit, higher dimensions, near-death experiences, the spiritual realm, dreams and visions, plus much more. The RDM podcast explores it all and awakens you to secrets and deeper realms. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Daniel Malinga.
Hello everybody and welcome back. This is yours truly, Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Welcome to the last episode of the second season. And we have a lot to discuss as always. I'm not alone in the studio. We have a couple of gentlemen here to add on to the conversation. Say hi, guys.
McLean here, super excited for the last episode of season two.
And Abati Emmanuel here, really very, very, very happy to be here.
Underbat hasn't been around for some time. You're welcome back.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Eric once again. Honored, always honored.
Dave Nyanabo, nice to be here.
Yeah, we have a writer in the house. Go ahead.
Moses Twinamasco, good to be here.
Yeah, Moses is our surprise guest. You're very welcome. As you can see, the house is full. We don't have a lady in the house, but still, God is present.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to go deeper, dive deeper into the things of God. And all I can say is tune in and let's get it on. All right, so it's been, what episode is this?
Seven.
This is episode seven.
Yeah.
Seven is the number of perfection. Mm-hmm. It's been a long journey since we started this particular season. And there were things that God was trying to point out and pull out. So I pray that you, even as you listen in from episode one onwards up to this particular episode, you'd have at least gained some... not only knowledge, but open your heart would have been opened up to the experiences that God can deposit in you based on the things that we've been discussing. But I want to end this on an interesting note. Things that have been, there are always things that are, as I go through the week, give me an idea of what I think we should discuss on this podcast. And so I started meditating on understanding what it takes for someone to grow. Now, we're going to go around the room. I want to get your perception on what growth is. And this is growth in general. It doesn't just have to be spiritual. It can include spiritual growth. But what growth is? How do you know someone has grown? Maki?
In my opinion, I consider growth and maturity mostly with shift of mindset from a lower level of thinking to a higher level of thinking.
For me,
that's growth.
I like that. We're going to get back to that one. All right. Mr. Underbat.
For me, growth is just like you say, different aspects of growth. Physically, I mean, you look at something physically and you notice that there has been a change. I mean, horizontally, vertically, but you notice that there has been a change. Yeah, that's...
I like the horizontally part. Okay.
I take from the point of a man's response to the ability within them, you know. So it means from a man's character.
Yeah.
You know, at every stage, you know, you can tell, okay, how they perceive things, how they understand, then how they get to respond to whatever circumstance, you know, life brings before them.
That's very interesting. Okay. Our writer.
I'll take it from an aspect of a father with a child. You'll notice how the different ways they respond to circumstances given their age. Always tells me they've grown or they need to grow.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, growth in my mind, I think, is tied to how one reacts, how you may react at a given point to how certain stimuli come to you. Mm. And at a lesser stage, the same thing can happen, but you react differently, implying that you have changed your thought pattern and how you look at things, and thus you've grown.
Okay. Interesting. I want to get back, because we're going to touch, I think, everything. We're going to touch everything that we've that you've spoken about. Mm. But I want to go back to the first thing that you said, Maki. You talked about growth being...
A shift in the mindset from a lower...
From a lower to a higher. What would you call a lower level of knowledge?
I think I'll use what Moses just used to describe that. Mm. A lower level of knowledge would be, for example, when you have a scenario, there is an expected... Not expected per se, but there is an acceptable or maybe say societal standard of response to certain events. Mm. And if that response does not add up to the event, then you're either termed as immature or mature. Mm. Okay? For example, let's say you're someone who is educated. You've gone to school and you have learned about how to be civil in society. Mm. And then let's say you pick up an argument with all due respect, with a taxi conductor. Mm. For you to end up physically fighting with this guy, I think people would really not take you very seriously. For me, that you would be immature to have responded that way.
Okay.
That's an example that I'd use.
All right. Because, you see, we need to understand that everything that has life, everything that God created that has life, and that includes not only in the realm of men, but in the spiritual realm as well, anything that has a kind of life grows. In the realm of men, we have three types of growth. Mm. Well, albeit four. There are three, but I can add on a fourth that I want to emphasize on. So there's the body growth, okay? Mm-hmm. Please understand that the body is the only automatic growth there is in the universe. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Every other growth must be on purpose.
Okay.
Okay? True. All right? Mm. So the body grows automatically. Mm. You don't have to. It's automatic. Every other growth has to be on purpose. So there's body physical growth, like what Anderbart referred to as horizontal and vertical. All right. Then there is intellect. Mm-hmm. We grow in our intellect or your knowledge. Mm. Then there is the spiritual growth, but I want to focus more on the fourth kind, which is not necessarily separate from the three categories. It would include all three categories. Mm. You can grow in consciousness. Mm. Okay? You can grow in consciousness. Now, before we go into all that, I need you to understand, because before we went into this podcast, we're having an interesting conversation, and I was telling you about my daughter. Mm. I have a daughter. She's now approaching 3 months old. Mm. And I've been keen. You know, you might have sisters, brothers, friends who have had children, but until you have your own child, there are things that you will not, that you think you knew, but then you realize you didn't know them until you get your own child. So I've been paying very close attention to her growth pattern, the things that she that capture her attention, the things that scare her, the things, you know. And so I started to notice things that I found interesting. Like, for example, at around 2 months or so, apparently, babies don't know that they have hands and legs. Right? Mm. So when they discover that, oh my God, I actually have a hand, they're always swinging them around and putting them in their mouths. Eh? Mm. Because they've just discovered that there are these things that are attached to to their bodies that they do not know are there. Then after some time, they discover, oh my God, I have legs. What are these? They're actually legs. And so they start moving them because they've realized. Yeah? But at an initial stage, the legs were moving simply because they're part of the body and the child was not involved in the process. Mm-hmm. Now, I've watched my child, even though it's 3 months, I've watched her grow from a tiny child to someone who's pretty heavy. Yeah? Mm. I've watched her face change. Huh? Mm. At first, she looked like me, then she looked like my wife, then she looks like me now again, that she looks like my mother. Okay, so there's a point in life where your faith, your face actually just reaches a fixed position and we'll look at someone. So there's a physical growth. All right. Then there's the intellectual growth that is dependent upon the environment that you grew up in. All right. Mm-hmm. So if you grew up in the village, you weren't in the city, you grew up in a village or a county or whatever it is, the way you perceive things, your knowledge of things will be different. The knowledge you've accumulated will be different from the knowledge someone in the city would have accumulated. The things you appreciate will be different from the things someone in the city would appreciate. I'm going to dwell on the intellectual part later, if we get there. Then there's the spiritual growth. And it's very interesting because if it's true that everything, you're going to read for me Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 to 10, because I've told you that everything that has life grows. In the realm of the spirit, certain things might not grow physically, like us, like the natural realm, but they do grow. All right? Read for me Ephesians 3, 9 to 10.
Ephesians 3, 9 to 10. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now and to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Okay, so that scripture is saying that there is a wisdom that God expresses through the church to principalities. And those principalities are in the realm of the spirit. That means there are things they see and learn from children of God. You're with me? That means in the realm of the spirit, angelic beings, even demons, can grow in information. The only being who does not grow in information is God, because he's omniscient. Omniscient means God cannot learn, cannot be taught, never receives new information. Everything that there is for God to know, he knows it now. Right? And like you and I, we grow in knowledge. In the realm of the spirit, there are beings that are not God, grow in knowledge. So there are things, according to scripture, I would show you, that actually we are being watched, because there are beings learning from us as children of God, even though we are also learning. Okay? Now, it's very, very important you understand that I've said there's a physical growth, there's an intellectual growth, there is a spiritual growth, all right? Then there is a growth of your consciousness, a growth of consciousness. You grow conscious. Now, a child can grow physically. A child can grow in knowledge, intellect. A child can grow spiritually, can grow in consciousness. There is a childlike consciousness. Okay? Consciousness means awareness.
Correct.
There are things children are aware of. Or aware about, or whatever. There are things children are aware. So, for example, if you hid something precious in a closet and told the child, don't go into that closet, by nature, a child will be curious and want to go into the closet. Why? Because when you tell natural human beings, you tell them not to do something, they'll run to do something. Okay? But if someone entered that closet and came out pretending that there's a monster inside the closet, the chances of that child entering that closet are lower.
Yes.
Now, please understand, the reason why that acting would work on a child is because of the level of their knowledge. Okay? As they grow in knowledge, they begin to realize the reality and the truth of what's in the closet.
True.
And they'll know that there's no such thing as a monster physically in the closet. So what I'm trying to say is this, that the level of your knowledge determines the level of your consciousness. Not the amount of knowledge, the level of knowledge. Knowledge has levels. Now, I'm going to show you even in the Bible, because when the Bible was written, there is one word of God, But the same word of God has levels and degrees.
Mm.
So you can hear a word at a lower level. I can assure you, and I'm going to prove it to you through scripture, which will determine your level of consciousness, what you're conscious about.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, I've given the example of the child. The child, is a because of his level of knowledge, believes that there's a monster in the closet. Is conscious of a monster in the closet. Even in the realm of the spirit, the level of your knowledge will determine what you're fearing.
You
get me?
Yes.
So when the level increases, what you're conscious of changes, or what you fear changes.
Correct.
Okay? You're with me?
Yes.
Okay. So now, the level of knowledge determines the degree of consciousness. Right?
Yes.
Take me to Genesis chapter 4. No, actually, Hebrews 9:27.
Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Okay. Now, this is a very clear scripture. I want to show you that the Bible speaks in levels. It says, it is appointed for each man to die once, then after that judgment. Someone can read that scripture and they think all it means is the moment you die, there's judgment. I can bring out a phrase that is similar to that to bring out my point. I can reverse it. I can say it is appointed for a man to be born, then after death. But within the birth and the death, there are stages. You're with me?
Yes.
Okay. You don't, with the exception of a few, you're not born and then just die. But it is appointed for you to be born and then die. But within there, there are levels of growth. It's the same in the realm of the spirit. Okay? It is appointed for each man to die once. Then after, even in that world, there are stages. There are levels of knowledge, levels of consciousness. Now, what I need you to understand is that in this scripture, it is saying it's appointed to each man to die once, and then thereafter,
judgment.
I need to ask you a question, because most people don't seem to realize that around their environment, a lot of what they are conscious of, or a lot of the things that they are going through, are because, number one, of the level of their knowledge, and number two, the degree of consciousness tied to that level of knowledge. So I'll give you an example. The Bible says, is any among you sick? Let him call of the elders and they will lay hands. Okay? Someone can read the scripture and build camp around that scripture. But then the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. So that's a higher level than
calling the elders.
Than calling the elders. Okay? You choose whichever. I've told many people before that scripture says, God says, call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things which you know not. You can camp around that scripture, or there's another one that says, before you call, I will answer. There are levels. The Bible speaks to people at levels. You see, we grow physically, we grow spiritually, we grow intellectually, but I don't know what it is within, I'm going to use the word religion. People don't want to grow. And I'm not talking about growing the way you think about it. People camp around a truth. So, for example, someone out there, they would have told them, they've been brought up to believe. You're going to read for me Genesis chapter 4. They're brought up to believe. Listen, Cain, we've asked questions. Where did Cain get his wife? You're going to read for me. It's going to bring out my point. Read it for me.
Genesis 4:16-17. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch.
Okay, so this is a scripture that was written ideally by Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis, even the first five books of the Bible. And he's writing here and he says, so Cain leaves the presence of God, Eden, and goes to the land called Nod. And he has a son called Enoch. First of all, the scripture says he marries a wife. Mm-hmm. Question is, where did he get the wife from? If indeed Adam and Eve are the first and Cain is the firstborn, right? Mm. Then secondly, it says he built a city. Did he build it on his own?
Mm.
Huh? Did he have maybe some form of supernatural strength that enabled him to build a city on his own, or were there other people there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why the Bible leaves those things out, and I'm going to show you through scripture, is not so that you can sit on that as a truth. It leaves it out so that you could understand that in our spiritual growth, there's a transition from the things God has said to the things he has promised to say. Okay?
Mm.
Now, what do I say that? Because read for me John chapter 16. I believe it's 16 verse 12 to
14.
Go ahead.
John 16, 12, 14.
Mm.
I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come, and he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you.
So there are things Jesus said of the disciples. He said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them.
Mm.
He's talking about their state of consciousness, their level of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If I told you these things, they would break you.
Mm.
But what he's saying there is that I haven't told you everything. Then he says, but a Spirit of truth will come and he will guide you into all truth. That means when Jesus was on earth, he did not teach all truth.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
Now, if he did not teach all truth and the Spirit of truth is coming to guide us into all truth, I cannot, and this is very controversial, cannot base just on what has been written.
True. True.
Right? Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. That means it is possible for the Spirit of God to come and reveal to me something that has never been written.
Correct.
Right?
True.
Now, I want you to imagine. I'm going to show you a scripture, but I want you to imagine. Moses writes the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
By the Spirit of revelation, he knows that Cain went to a land called Nod, had a son called Enoch, and what? Built a city. He named it Enoch by the Spirit of revelation, because Moses wasn't there.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
It would be safe to say that if this revelation came from Moses, the people before Moses wrote this stuff down never knew it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they had some semblance of what would have been called word.
Yes.
Until someone tapped into a higher realm, okay,
mm-hmm.
and got a higher truth.
Mm.
And I'm going to show it to you that in scripture there are higher truths. Read for me Deuteronomy chapter 24. Did I give it to you? Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Eh? I didn't. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. You look for it and get it to you. So the way the scripture was written is that it speaks to people at various degrees and various stages in their lives. Eh? There are people who can camp around the truth. It's possible for you to live this whole earth and die still a child in the realm of the spirit. Yes, go ahead.
Verse 24. Okay. 24 verse 1 says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house.
Okay, so that's a scripture about divorce.
Mm.
And this is Moses who has got it, and he has got it from who? Where did he get that from? He got it from God.
Mm.
Huh? This is a law. If you find a woman unclean, divorce her. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Eh?
Mm.
Matthew chapter 19. This is the Son of God speaking.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Matthew 19:4-8. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, whereof they are now no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?
So they're referring to the scripture that we've read. Eh?
He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so.
So, now please understand. Mm. They are quoting what they know is word.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yes.
Straight from the mouth of God through Moses.
Mm.
And here comes a higher realm of understanding that says actually what you're questioning is actually, yes, the word. But it was given to you because of your level. Now, hardness of heart is the state of consciousness, what you are aware of, or the level of knowledge that you have. So because of the level of knowledge, a certain truth is brought to you. You understand? Now, this is crazy because both were scripture. But Jesus is negating what Moses has said. And he said, actually, God brought that because your level of knowledge was this. If your level of knowledge and understanding, if your consciousness was a higher level, something deeper would have. Okay? Now, listen to me, child. If you ever want to go into spiritual things, the first step is always to acknowledge that where you are is not all there is. That's step number one. Aside from that step, because you see, this is what is causing trouble in churches. People camp around a revelation. When a man gets, now, because someone would say, but how can we, man of God, how can we be able to tell if the revelations that people have, the Spirit of the Lord gives them, are actually from the Spirit of the Lord? Let me tell you this. First of all, if you have a relationship with God, you can be able to discern when God moves on a person. Correct. That's one. But secondly, which is more important, when men gain higher levels of knowledge, usually they are careful with the things they say because people might not believe them. And this is why I was saying, people often ask, where did Cain get his wife? Because it's not mentioned in scripture. And it's not mentioned because the spirit that was working through Moses hid it for a reason. A person reading on a certain level would say, the reason why this thing is hidden is that you are never supposed to know. Someone on a higher level will say, actually, the information is there. It's just not at this level. And you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you must rise. You must ascend. It's the reason why there are higher levels of knowledge in the realm of the spirit. So to one person, you can sow to reap. But there is a place in the spirit where a person is constantly reaping even without sowing. Now, the thing is this. I'm struggling to say, I have to give, because someone might be listening to me and they might not grasp what I'm trying to say here. If you're a person who desires spiritual things, spiritual experiences, you want to grow in maybe the prophetic, you want to grow in encounters with God. Let's say you want money. I'm going to now use no more examples. Natural examples. The way God created things on the face of this earth is that at every level there's a diminishing return. I'm an economist by profession. What that means is that when you reach a particular level, the value of that level reduces.
Correct.
So, let's talk about, for example, if you want to be a billionaire. If I gave someone here, let me not use the people in this room. If I gave someone $1 billion, that might be even too much, but let's just for the sake of the example. If I gave them $1 billion, the excitement a person would have would be out of this world because they'll be thinking about the things they would do with it. But get someone who's been at that level of $1 billion for years, it doesn't excite him anymore.
Very true.
Why? Because the value has diminished over time. You're with me?
Yes.
And so, if you see many of these billionaires, guys who have been billionaires for years, they try their very best to find meaning in the money they have. So it's not just about flaunting it. Now it's about either helping people, giving out money and helping people, or throwing yourself totally into a venture that will help humanity. So the people want to go, that they think will help humanity, want to go to space. So they put all their money into it because they realize that having money in and of itself
is not everything.
Are you with me? Yeah. So at that level, value has diminished. Now, this is where I was telling someone, if I told you what your perception of heaven is, it would be interesting to get people's perceptions of what heaven is. Because there are people out there who think that heaven is this place where constantly you'll just be singing. Constantly you'll be in one place giving God all the glory. You'll be dressed in white. Yes, there are beautiful things all over. But what they need to realize is that the way God has created everything of his is that if anything remains constant, its return diminishes. So if heaven was the same, you'd get bored. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so, in order for heaven to be heaven, it must constantly be changing.
From glory
to glory. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It must constantly be growing. In that realm, everything God created, first of all, there must be creativity. Mm. Number two, spontaneity. Oh my God. Okay. Spontaneity. Yeah. That's what I have an English guy here. Okay. So there must be both creativity and spontaneity, if that word actually exists. It does. So without those two things, boredom can take place.
True.
Okay. So heaven itself must have a sense of movement. Constant growth. That's why the Bible says, if you look at the Bible says the heavens wax old. How can heavens wax old? Because there's always something. You see, we move from glory
to glory.
To glory. That means you as a human being, even the way you are created. Mm. People place different values on things. So take, for example, someone out there, they place their value, what they would call gold, is a particular type of car. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the thing is, anything that is not alive, that doesn't carry some sort of meaning, the moment you get it, the diminishing return starts taking place.
Immediately.
It's almost immediately. So yes. Like, now I wanted this thing.
Now what?
Now what next? Hmm. Because these things don't, you're looking for life. You're looking for Zoe.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, that's what you're looking for. And so some people try to place it. There are people excited out there. I've been telling people I want to get a PlayStation 5. And I know that the moment that I get it, I'll think, why did I want to get this thing? Because they're diminishing returns. Someone's gold is that. But then Jesus said that there's a higher level when he said, desire true riches. True riches means that there are things out there that are more valuable than the things that you can get in the physical. Now, you've had that enough times that people don't seem to realize it. That house that you want to build, those places you want to visit. I've gone to places. Listen, I've traveled. I've traveled. And over time, I started, while I was young, I did a lot of traveling in Europe. A lot of traveling with my parents and so on. Went to about 9-10 European countries. And something settled in my heart that I have no interest in visiting concrete. Now, I have to say, now, please, if you want to go to Europe, those are yours. This is my personal opinion.
Yes.
You will go to London, look at Big Ben, and you'll stand there and say, so this is Big Ben. So why have I been desiring to come and look at a clock? You understand? Or you go to Paris, look at the Eiffel Tower, and you realize it's just metal. So you go up there, you come down, and it's not what you expected it to be. Most of the time it's not. Okay? I think what would create the actual feeling of the thing is if you are with people that you love and so. But if you went on your own, I can assure you you're going to be disappointed. Because that's when I started switching my mind towards going to places that have life. That have environment, they have water, they have... I was telling someone, I told my wife we should go to the Amazon forest. And she said, get behind me, Satan. Because why? Because there are snakes, there are what, there are crocodiles, there are what... anyway, whatsoever. But I love nature. So there are things that carry life. So you begin to realize that when something has life in it, it gains a value.
Correct.
Okay?
Yes.
When something doesn't have life, if it's just a physical thing, it's dead. All right?
Mm-hmm.
If I asked you, for example, let me give you an example. Another one. What does God look like? Literally everyone will have an understanding of what God looks like. Even a child, because if they've just gone to preschool, they'll know all the colors and they'll probably know gold. Mm. There's a child's perception of gold. There's a mature person's perception of gold. You would think you know gold until the day you try to involve yourself in the buying and selling.
Mm.
That's the day you realize that someone has sold you something fake because it was shiny.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you realize that you need a deeper understanding of what gold not only looks like, but what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who has been dealing in gold would have a deeper knowledge and a deeper answer to the question, what is gold, than you.
Correct.
Now, take that now to the spiritual world, because in the religious concept, there are people who describe things of the spirit from the aspect of gold is that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are those who have the things that we have seen, the things that we have heard, the things that we have looked upon, the things that we have touched.
The
these
experience.
Things. Yes, you see? So you need to understand that this is because I'm talking about spiritual consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
To travel from one consciousness to another, mm-hmm. one of the prominent ways is experience. Mm-hmm. Absent of experience, there's no travel in consciousness, of awareness.
True.
Okay?
Mm.
The highest thing you can be conscious of is the presence of God.
Mm.
After that, the next thing you can be conscious of is your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The highest thing you can be conscious of is the presence of God. After that, it's your identity. Not your identity just by your identity. Your identity in God, in Christ. And you would find that who you are is revealed to you gradually as you get closer to God. Why? Because your identity is linked to that source. Called God.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So, consciousness is very key. Spiritual consciousness is very key for you to experience things on a certain level. There's a man of God I know. He had gone I was told he went to a particular hotel here in Kampala with someone, with a couple of friends. And someone asked him, how do I grow in the prophetic? And the man of God said, the entire time I was seated with you, while we were talking, you were possibly just listening to what I was saying. But I was listening to the fountain in the distance. Hmm? I was feeling the heat from the sun. Huh? When the waitress came, I took note of what she was wearing. That is a heightened level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Heightened level.
Mm-hmm.
When you have heightened your consciousness, you can know when atmospheres change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of you see. Let me tell you.
True.
I was checking recently because in Uganda there's been lockdown. There was a lockdown recently, and churches are still locked down. And I noticed on Facebook, on social media, I'm going to use the word buffoon. wrote that why do you need the churches open? God is everywhere. Now that's a certain level of knowledge.
Yeah, of course.
You understand? Because you see. The Bible says, David said, even though I go to the depth of hell, you are there. Huh?
Mm.
But you see, people in hell are suffering. Huh? Even though he's there.
Mm.
That means there's a degree of the presence of God they do not have.
Correct.
Which is what we call the manifest presence of God, which is not everywhere.
Correct.
So you can't then say that because churches should remain closed because God is everywhere. That is lower level knowledge, which determines his consciousness.
Mm.
He's not aware, and he calls himself a Christian, he's not aware that at that level of knowledge, the knowledge has determined his level of awareness of how much in danger he is the longer that the church is closed.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yes.
If you took a child and they went to school and they showed them that that's a plane, and then they go outside and see a plane flying, they would point and say that's a plane. That's a degree or a level of knowledge.
Mm.
But that there's more to a plane than just pointing it out. There's its source, its history. There is how to fly it.
Mm.
Okay? Now, in the same way, there's more to you than just your Dave, the writer, your MacLean. There are deeper aspects of who you are that can only come out with levels of knowledge and degrees of consciousness. And I'm going to tell you later how we can awaken certain levels of consciousness within us. Read for me, there's a scripture that I gave you, if I remember correctly.
Hebrews?
Yeah, read for me Hebrews, that's it.
Hebrews 5, 13 to 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Okay, so it says that what is milk from a spiritual perspective? What do you think it is? Because he's talking about strong meat and he's talking about milk. So he's talking about different levels of feeding. And there's something he calls milk.
The basics of Christian faith. If you want to go to heaven, I'd consider milk just knowing that all you need to do is get born again. And you think that is it. Because there's much more to it. So just sitting on the knowledge that all I need to do is get born again and leave it at that.
You know, Paul said something in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. He said, let us not lay again the foundation of the elementary principles of God. Then he talks about of faith towards God. He talks about laying on of hands and so on, and baptisms. He talks about baptisms plural. So he calls those elementary, but that's not milk necessarily. They're elementary. Elementary meaning they're beginning things, the things that you start with, but they're not necessarily milk. Because let me just pick one out. Laying on of hands. Do you know that laying on of hands is deeper than many people give it for granted? You can do the same act and be doing something different. I can lay hands for impartation.
Correct.
Lay hands for healing. I can lay hands for prayer. Lay hands, all this. Lay hands for blessing. Lay hands, all that. Meanwhile, with the same action. Okay? So you can be deeper with an elementary principle. Milk is actually a level of word that is, what's the word? Is it regurgitated? Yeah, regurgitated for your purpose. So you know how when a mother wants to give someone, a child, something, she first chews it and then gives it to the child. Then the child can be able to swallow it. Milk means you're sitting under someone and you're getting what they have revealed, what God has revealed to them, and you take it as truth. In other words, they're explaining something to you. You're still at milk level. If you haven't got to the place where God actually speaks things to you, you haven't yet entered strong meat. You haven't yet entered strong meat. Because the people who camp around what the man of God has said. Let me tell you something, child of God. No matter how great an anointing, you need a personal relationship with God and you need to hear from God personally. Okay?
Yes.
So that scripture is saying you can grow skillful. You can be skillful in the word of God. Skillful to the extent where you can be able to discern between good and evil. That skillfulness has to do with growing your consciousness and awareness. So, for example, there are things I know when I'm ministering, I've had to learn through experience that there are times I used to have stomach aches just as I was entering to minister. And I would think maybe it's just because I'm anxious and you know. Then I began to realize with time that the stomach aches were linked to things that I'm supposed to do in the session before we start. Then I began to realize that for some people, prayer is important. Heavy prayer is important before they minister. For me, it's usually worship. When you discover what operates or what opens up a deeper action of yourself, it means you've gained a higher consciousness of who you are, and therefore the results are higher, are better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Right now, you go to business. The people looking for business ideas and so on, and they're trying everything because they're not yet conscious of what it is that will awaken them to a particular area. What it is, they haven't found their true niche, because God doesn't generalize. And because God doesn't generalize, and because you haven't found your niche, this frustration is inevitable. It is inevitable. To awaken your consciousness, you need to learn to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Meditate. And before that, let me give you an example. If I was dating someone and they hurt me and I got hurt badly, from that moment onwards, because of the experience, my consciousness has just been heightened. So now I'm aware of who I should date, the kind of person. Before that, it was just naive. If my friend betrayed me, my consciousness would get higher. From that level, from that time onwards, I'm conscious of who my friends are. You see? So your consciousness increases with the levels of experience and the things that you go through. All right? There are people who are conscious of false doctrine. I'll give you an example. Very conscious of false doctrine. No, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. No, this is what it means. You know, sometimes, let me tell you. I had this discussion with God will often send people your way in your life to train you how to teach people. Me, the specific people, my brothers, I believe, were put in my lineage so that I can be an effective teacher. I was discussing with them the other day, and I said, but how do you know that what you're teaching is truth? Then I told them that you need to understand that truth is not subjective. It is objective. Meaning, when something is true, no matter who shares it, no matter what, it will always remain true. So, for example, the chair I'm sitting on is black. If you came and said it's red, that would be your subjective truth. But it won't change the fact that the chair is black. Okay? In the same way, I told my brother, just because you don't believe God is there, doesn't mean he'll stop being there.
True.
You see? So truth is
objective.
Is objective. In the same way, even false things, fake things are also objective. Someone can camp on a false thing that it's true, but it will always be
false.
It will always be false. Now, how do you know when something is true or false? I think is that when everything else around changes, it remains the same. That's why God is the chief truth. Okay? Because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So, truth remains the same. Now, the people who have labeled something fake, like they did to Jesus, when they're talking about divorce, because they had camped around their subjective understanding of what truth is. Why? Because they didn't realize that truth has something can be true, but a lower truth, and God can let you run with it. Okay? So I had to grow to the understanding. I remember I used to have this truth. I used to believe that all of us are children of God, and so all of us will all of us are equal before God. Until I began to realize scriptures like Jesus says, John is the greatest. Of all the prophets. Now, he says, of all the prophets that have come. Now, he includes Moses, Elijah, what? None is greater than John. What? Then he says, but even the least in the kingdom, greater than John. That means in heaven, there is ranking. There is least. Now, even in hell, there is ranking. Because Jesus turned to the Pharisees. Actually, he was talking to his disciples. He said, whoever causes any of these little children to stumble, it would be greater for a stone to be tied around them and thrown into a lake. And then he says, for they shall receive the greater damnation. So there's a great damnation. There's a damnation, a great damnation, and a greater. You understand?
Yeah.
So the understanding of levels of knowledge, the understanding that everyone that you see that you admire is where they are because they raise their consciousness. They jumped from one level of knowledge to another. Do you know that you can accumulate information and just be accumulating information on a particular level?
Very true. Very true.
Huh?
Mm.
So it's not about the amount of information. Mm. It's about the next level of truth that can awaken something in you.
Mm.
I have sat with men and women of God who have astounded me. I was with a guy who I will not say one time, Wajava's, and he Java's restaurant, and he said, Daniel, I want to show you something. So he pulled out a spoon and began to draw it from a distance, and I watched as it moved. I had a mixture of freaked out, excitement, what? You know? And he said, and the funny thing is that all of us can do it. Now, what the devil will do, when the devil attacks, he doesn't care how much information you get, as long as it remains at a certain
level.
When the devil attacks, his aim is to change your consciousness, to get you to be conscious of things, especially physical. I don't have rent. I don't have this. Things that you don't have. When you draw yourself at that level, he camps. He keeps you. You're literally a prisoner. You need to raise your level of consciousness. Last night, and I'm going to bring you guys in. Last night, I was laying on my bed, late in the night. Last night and the night before. And the night before, there was heavy rain. Eh? And because I love rain so much, I love my sleep. But this particular night, I slept around 4 a.m. And I wanted to see how far I can get with certain things in the spirit. So I focused on... Now, I like to use money because it's the quickest, because you get the happiest when you receive it. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yep.
Not these things of let someone call me what? Eh? No. Huh?
Mm.
So I focused on a certain amount of money and was conscious of it at that heightened level. Not out of need, but out of who I was. That this thing will come to me because I am a child of God.
Mm.
I call you because I am a child of God. If God put Adam in charge of all creation, and that creation includes trees, then money should respond to me.
Mm.
And so I sat there in the night, deep night, and I started just meditating, practicing. Please understand that there's a difference. I could have meditated in the presence of God, but this particular thing, I was practicing something. And as I was meditating, in the morning, the amount came. And you know, it has happened on so many occasions that I always have to remind myself that this is not luck, eh? Because the devil can put that thing in your head that, nah, it was just coincidental. Your level of awareness, your level of awareness is directly linked to your level of life.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at someone at a particular place in their life, it's the level of knowledge and the level of consciousness, what they're conscious about. Right?
Mm.
That's why I like being around people who call themselves things that they are not yet. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time I was teaching on dreams.
Mm.
And I said there are two types of... There's a dream. There are dreams you have when you have discovered your identity. Then the dreams you have when you don't. When you haven't.
Mm.
There will be a dream that you have because you discovered who you are. So there are dreams prophets have, dreams businessmen have, there are dreams architects, writers have, and I'm not just talking about people who are called to it, people who have actually discovered it and they're pursuing it, their dreams take a different form. All right? Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible is seated on a throne and he's wondering about the nations that will come after him. He's a king. And he has a dream at that level. He's not thinking about states and LC1s and all that. His dream takes on that level because he's a king. Now, I was explaining to someone that while it's possible for Nebuchadnezzar, having been king, to have a dream at that level, it's also possible for you, if you have the same posture as Nebuchadnezzar, to have the same dream. You understand?
Yes.
I am a king. You don't have to be there physically. Because the spirit realm doesn't tell the difference.
True.
And that's how men draw themselves into specific realms. You understand? The consciousness of who you are. I want to conclude because I want us to ask questions. There's a scripture. Let's see. Did we read it? I think we read it. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10.
But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
So, there are deep things of God. Your level of awareness determines, first of all, what you will receive, and secondly, how you communicate. The way you communicate to a child who believes that a knife is a play toy is determined by the level of your knowledge and your consciousness of the knife. The same is true of spiritual things. When you meet a man who watches a fool blabber on scriptures, just quoting them, saying, no, you see, the Bible says this. He's speaking scripture. And you just watch a man look at him. Most spiritual men that I know, people who have grown in God, are men of few words.
Very true.
And by the way, this is both of the light and dark. There's a man in this city that I know, a man in the dark world. People call him fake. He has never responded.
Very true.
Why? Because when you learn to wage war in the spirit, you just look at a guy in the physical trying to wage war, and you just look at him and say, Kale, this guy doesn't know I can come for him in the night. That's just an example. Most people who have grown, who have gained higher levels of consciousness, because I'm winding up on this, there are deeper things of God. You can learn to be conscious of angels, one, and learn to be conscious of the type of angels. Two, learn to be conscious of your angel. Three, I have learned that knowing which angels are around and how to bring them around you can determine specific results. There are people still operating on the angels of the Lord are here. That's a lower level. I've seen people. I sat with a man of God, a friend of mine, Prophet Ernest, and he was telling me, Daniel, I know my angel. I know his name. I know what I need to do to call him. I know what I need to do, and I know what he can and what he cannot do. Okay? There are levels. The higher you go, I don't even know how I could teach this, because I talked about it sometime when I was way back in the years when I was teaching on rank. One of the ways rank is noticed in the realm of the spirit is by the amount of the angelic. The amount of angels around a person. Because please, most of us have minimum one angel. Minimum. Because that's an angel that has been with you from the time you were born. Every time you capture a revelation, actually capture it, an angel is attached to you for that revelation. When you see Elijah prayed for his servant and he saw angels, the Bible says, and he saw angels encompassing around Elijah. That's the, that thing messed me up, because the servant is standing right next to Elijah, but he's, the Bible says the angels are encompassing around Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Eh? What you see there, what it tells you is the rank of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm. So, as you grow in business, in dreams, in anything that you pursue in the realm of the spirit, a being is attached to you. A partner. Someone you're supposed to work with. Okay?
Mm.
The key is to always be conscious. Always be conscious of what's happening and how to tap into certain things. Now, this is where meditation becomes extremely crucial. Not this world meditation. Not that one. I'm talking about, because I have a message on how to meditate. The lowest level of meditation is meditating on the word.
Mm.
The Bible says in the book of Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from their lips.
Mm.
What that means is that it is good to constantly have a scripture on your lips and say, I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Constantly, it's on your lips and in your mind. Constantly. You dress in what your mind has, what your mind is focusing on. So constantly, that's the lowest level, meditating on. Now, you must graduate from speaking word to seeing word. Seeing word means you must learn to look at circumstances and be able to see what God is saying.
Mm.
Seeing word, now you can train yourself in that. You can walk with a particular scripture in your wallet. Hmm? Okay? So when you're saying it, you can just bring it out and see it as well. Because what you're doing is exercising two senses. Speech.
And sight.
And sight. You'll be shocked, and I know what I'm talking about, when you look at a particular scripture constantly, that when you look around, you'll be able to see things and discern things in line with that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Because your eyes were being sharpened. The highest level of meditation is to be taken to that world. As a being, you're taken into that world. You know, I was telling someone the other day, I find it interesting, that what we call OBEs and NDEs. NDEs are near-death experiences. OBEs are out-of-body
experiences.
I had an interesting discussion. My young brother brought me an unbeliever. A guy who was like, I've been told that you're the guy who can answer all these things. And the reason why he came like that is because there was a time in the past, before I actually entered into ministry, where I had taken the posture of taking on non-believers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So my brother brings this guy and says, I've been told you're the guy to talk to. Then he starts to talk to me and he's telling me that, do you know that the moment someone dies, he had all this information. So the moment someone dies, what proof is there that someone, that is actually somewhere you go? He says, we go to the ground and that's it. All you see is darkness. You're gone. So I pointed out a few factors to him. One, which we'll debate on another day. One, the moment someone dies, that instant, okay? If you put the body on a weighing scale, it's weighing less. Now, I'm not talking about a body that has just been there for some time and decayed and what. I'm talking about when someone has died, they weigh less. Something left. That's one. Number two, science through OBEs and NDEs, near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences, have realized that certain people, when they died and got out of their bodies, when they came back, they were able to tell the surroundings and what the doctors were doing to them and all that stuff. Now, if the mind was in the brain, how could a person who has left their body be able to remember anything, if indeed the mind is in the brain?
Because it should have been dead as well.
Yes. Because the mind is not in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is not in the brain. The Bible says. What is it? In the book of Luke, in chapter 16, it talks about Lazarus. Okay? Lazarus and this rich man. The rich man is in hell. We know that both of them, their spirits are out of their bodies. And yet the rich man can remember his family that he left behind. Okay? If the mind was in the brain, how is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm. So there's a higher level of consciousness that is not attached to, because finally I want to say this, then we'll bring in some questions. There is a body consciousness. Body consciousness means that if I stepped on a pin, you would know that your body has a consciousness.
Because you'll feel the pain.
You feel the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a self-consciousness. Self-consciousness means there's an awareness that you have as a result of the knowledge that you've gained. So you start, maybe I'm too fat, maybe I'm too, I'm too thin, maybe I'm too black, I'm too what. Self-consciousness. There's a consciousness that's attached to your soul.
Mm.
Then there is spirit consciousness. That is the most of these three. It is the most important. It's the one that God is trying to get you to awaken. It's the highest level.
Mm.
With spirit consciousness, you can be able to discern a thief, a liar, a fake man of God. You can be able to discern when your season has come. Jesus said that you can look at the trees and know the time has come, but you cannot be able to tell the seasons, the times of God.
Mm.
You can be able to discern seasons. You awaken your senses. That's how people like myself have learned to prophesy. I had to learn, first of all, to move by faith, because earlier days I got a lot of things wrong. When I was prophesying, I had to risk, you had to dive into the deep end with shark infested. I remember one time I prophesied and a guy in fellowship, what was that, around 2017, I don't remember, 2017, 18, the guy was like, guy on Aturimba. Meaning this guy here is lying to us. Eh? And I remember I felt so bad because I was busy trying to pick up. Your mother's name is Diana. Says, no, her name is Joyce. Eh? So a guy is sitting in the congregation, the guy Aturimba, and into the guy. Things have refused. And it would have been easy for me to conclude.
Yes.
And, to give up.
Mm.
But what I was trying to do is raise my level of awareness.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
Now, when you've gained a reputation of being able to be spot on, you can get something wrong in fellowship or wherever, and people think the person just didn't know what I was talking about.
Mm. True.
Because your reputation speaks. Yes, the world is boosted.
Mm.
But higher level of consciousness. There is nothing that anyone in this room or anyone listening to cannot be able to attain. And you see, the thing with consciousness, it's attributed not to religion, but to men.
Yeah.
There's some Hindu chap somewhere out there who has been able to tap into higher levels of consciousness.
Mm.
But you see, he opens himself to demons and spirits. First, we're guarded by the presence of God in us. I had a statement of a man of God. He said, if God is really big, why then would he be hard to find? And that's an interesting statement. In other words, if this God that lives in you is so big, you must be so far off not to be able to sense him.
Mm-hmm.
It should be easy enough to sense this God that is big. It's just that you're lazy and you're not practicing these things.
Wrong frequency.
Actually, that's it. Because one day I'll teach on sounds and frequencies in the realm of the spirit.
Mm.
That everything that God created, sound is attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. When you clap, that's sound. Okay? There is nothing that is not attached to sound. That's why one of the scariest places in the Bible is in the book of Revelations, when there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Because please understand, there had never been silence. There's always been noise. Okay? So that's not a good thing. You know something is coming. All right? So sound is very key. Now, if that is true, God doesn't sneak into a thing. Doesn't sneak into your experience. Doesn't sneak into there are things that announce his coming. You're just not conscious of them. I'll tell you, in fellowship, usually when we have fellowship, I will know that the spirit of prophecy is around when I feel wind. And I can be certain because I've learned now to know how it sounds like. To know now, I can engage this. It will be very easy. I'll pick out someone's, I would say you have a blue underband. That's a word of knowledge. Okay? But there are times when I don't feel it and I have to move by faith and I have to engage the prophetic. Okay? And so you'll often see certain signs of that. I'll pick out someone. I've been led to pick them out, to speak into their life by the Spirit of God. And I first leave them standing. And I go and pick someone else out. Meanwhile, the entire time,
you're downloading.
I'm downloading about this person.
Amen.
Because I've had to engage it.
Mm.
But when the thing has, when you know, when there's an atmosphere of it, I'll pick you out, down, finish you. Pick you out, finish you. Pick you out, finish you. Because there's a grace, there's a flow. And if you're sharp, you can tap into it.
True.
And I'm not talking about sowing. No, what I'm saying is that if you raise your level of awareness, if you try to see as I'm prophesying, you try to look into someone's life, the ease at which your senses will be sharpened in that moment is better than if you went to your home and
tried it out. True.
Eh?
And you've experimented with us on that before.
Yes, 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 I have.
And
I have. It's just that I wonder how many people have actually gone back and actually make this part of their daily routine. Mm-hmm. Moses, do you? Okay, once in a while. Because when you want a husband, you're probably not going to be sitting there thinking, let me learn how to see in the spirit. But because the person thinks the two are mutually exclusive. But they're actually mutually inclusive. Because if you can see in the spirit, you can discern your own husband.
Correct.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So I think you should, in the same with business, if you learn to sharpen these things, you can be able to, and if you learn to raise your awareness, you can, there are things that will be made much easier.
True.
For you. Right? How long have we taken?
1 hour, 11 minutes.
Oh, 1 hour, 11. Let me use one more minute. I want to give a personal experience, and then we'll go into questions. I remember when I started ministry, a lot of the things that I had to do by faith. And I risked, number one, losing friends. Number two, distancing my family. Number three, looking a fool. First of all, just starting the church that I was in, that I was under, very lovely church, stuck at a certain level, but still a lovely church. They had an issue with me starting ministry. And this is interesting because through that experience, I learned to encourage people to start ministry. Like if someone comes to me and says, I want to start ministry, I'll take them through the 1, 2, 3, 4s. If I tell you you're not ready, you're not ready. If I tell you you're ready, you're ready. Fine. But if you want to go ahead and jump ship, I'll say, please, go ahead. Because you will learn through experience. Do you know what it takes? People think, you know, the other day my family is full of non-believers, but my cousin, who is the worst of the bunch, and I prophesied to him, I said, your soul, but one day you're going to be poor. I prophesied to him.
Amen.
But he's the worst of the bunch. And so he came to me and said, man, even me, I should just go and start a church because it seems it's easy to get people. I said,
don't be fooled.
I said, you can sit there speaking to chairs. I remember there's a picture. You go to one of our ministry pages. I keep them there for a reason. There's a picture in 2017. I remember there's a time there were like 7 people in the room. And I thought to myself, have I made the right decision? Going into ministry. First of all, I made the mistake of attributing the authenticity of ministry to numbers. That was a mistake. Because authenticity is not tied to numbers. Numbers can prove authenticity, but they're not the only thing. And so the thing is that when you're doing something right, increase is inevitable. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And so these people, I know people who jumped into ministry either too early or they weren't even called for it, but they thought, man, this thing works. And they realized, my God, to get human beings, human beings who think they know, you know, of all religions on the face of this earth, I was telling someone, Christians are the only ones who will speak back and correct someone who's called to minister. So, for example, the Muslims don't speak back to their sheikhs. No one corrects their sheikh. No. There's a mufti, you're coming, you can also quote the Quran. And by the way, in all other reasons, the Jews don't go correcting the rabbi.
True.
But it's only in the church where the Christians, the congregation, think they know the Bible as well as the person who's called for it. The idea is, now you can read your Bible, because I've taught this before, that the Bible says the fivefold is given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. If that is true, that means it is possible for you to minister scripture when you're not called to the fivefold, but the Bible won't attribute it as equipping. You with me?
Yes.
And so I went through ministry. There are things I had to take. I had to jump ropes, misconceptions. There are people now up to this day who don't talk to me. But the experiences I went through have enabled me to discern fake chaps. People who have just come into ministry because they like you, not because God has sent them. You understand? And by the way, there's a difference. And so I've had many people come to me, say, I'd like to enter into ministry. And sometimes I can see it's not their time. Sometimes I can see this one, within a month, he's going to be fighting with a lot of people and gone. I've had that. Many people hadn't attended my ministry at that time. I had almost mini battles in my choir. And I remember I went back and I told God, why me? Why me, Lord? Why me? But then I had to learn the level of consciousness on the people that I deal with, people that I bring around me, changed, heightened because of the experiences that God had taken me through. And so never take your experiences for granted. The last way that someone can grow in consciousness, but I've mentioned mainly one, meditation, but the next one would be affiliation or association. Because I told you, there's a body consciousness, there's a soul consciousness, there's a spirit consciousness.
Yes.
Do you know that if you held this phone, you can hold a phone physically with your body. You can hold it with your soul. Oh my God, this is an iPhone. What? Your soul is actually involved in the holding of the phone.
Correct.
You can hold it with the spirit. When you say, dear Lord, I thank you for this phone that you gave me. I'm going to use it for, and I'm just giving an example. All right? Those are three ways, but you've held them different ways.
Correct. Yes.
You can create consciousness, a higher consciousness, by the people that hang around you. There are people that have become demon conscious because they're always around people who attacked by a thing, who are attacked by things in the middle of the night. Right? You gain consciousness by the people around you, and by that, when that happens, the things you, what you are conscious of is what you receive. And therefore it will be what you communicate. Okay, we're going to have a question and answer quickly. And thank you for listening in. We've said a lot of things, but I hope at least you've eaten some meat. God bless you.
Okay, let's get it.
All right, we're back. We're going to go into a question and answer session, like I promised. And I want to see what this guy is going to throw my way. Let's shoot.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. I had a question. How do we bring corporate consciousness into, like, for example, the place that the church is globally as of now, because we're called for dominion? How do we bring that corporate consciousness to cut across for everybody to rise up, and in so doing, move as a church, as a single unit, against us having one person rising up, another person rising up, and everybody else is left at a lower level?
You see, I'm going to use examples in scripture. There is such a thing as corporate consciousness. It's possible to happen for it to happen at once. There's such a thing as corporate consciousness. For example, Jonah, the city of Nineveh, the entire city turns towards God. For example, in the book of Acts, 500 people also receive the Spirit of God. So there's such a thing as corporate consciousness. Now, there is this thing that I realized. The Bible says if you behold him with open face, you're changed from glory to glory. I think all of us, for there to be corporate consciousness, we all need to be seeing the same way. Huh? In other words, we need to be looking at the same thing, or in this case, the same person. But we need to be looking at the same person in the same way. Huh? It's an incredibly difficult thing to do, but by the grace of God, it's possible. I would encourage, for corporate consciousness to take place, it has to happen on an individual level at first. Eh? And then the fire catches on. There are people who are dragged on. You know, I did economics. Eh? I have a degree in economics, and I remember they taught us that there are always people in an industry who are early birds. Hmm? Then there are those who are finally laggards, the ones who always come late after realizing, oh my God, there's actually this thing works. Eh? And so it's even in church, they're there. There are people who are early to catch a revelation. There are those who catch it in the middle, in the very core of the revelation. There are those who are dragged in because they've seen everyone else is catching on. Eh? And so start with yourself. Start with yourself. It's the reason why people like teachers like myself, ministers of God who teach life and not the tree of knowledge of good and bad. It's the reason why we're here. We're trying to raise your consciousness. Okay? You see, unlike the other fivefold, the teaching anointing is designed to make the teacher less relevant in your life in a particular area. Otherwise, it's not teaching. Because teaching means that I hand over, now you can do it. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. No other office can claim that. You will always need the prophet, you'll always need the pastor, the apostle, and the evangelist will always be there. But the thing is, actually, evangelist also can say, once he has led you to Christ, his work is done. Huh? But corporate consciousness starts primarily with yourself. What you listen to, who you hang around. And once that raises, you begin through association to impact the people around you. But it's a dire need right now in this nation and in this world. We pray the Lord will take us there as soon as possible.
Thank you, Rabbi. A question I have is, from experience, I've noticed that when I leave my home and try and manifest some things, they seem to work out as opposed to back in my comfort zone. I don't know if it's an Abraham leave your home issue, or what I would want to know is how I transfer that result back home.
Okay, now I've listened to your question clearer, very clearly. I've noticed something. It could be one of two things. Primarily, sometimes the atmosphere at your home is fake. There are people who cannot pray in their homes, but can pray out. Some people leave the country to pray because primarily they might not find a conducive environment at home. If that's true, you can either, one, leave, find another place, or two, make the place conducive. To make the place conducive, you need to be vigilant. One, you can't be chilling there and say, Lord, make this place. No, that's not how atmospheres are created. To make a place capture the same atmosphere as you, the conversations need to be in line with the thing, with the atmosphere that you want. You can use music. Okay? The mindset needs to change in the house. When you say that when you go back home, things don't seem to be working out, the reason is because it's possible that when you're out of home, you've convinced yourself that these things work outside home. And so when you go home, I guess things doesn't work from home. But like we've said, and McLean is going to add on, I'm going to tell you to add on to this, but the idea is that when you buy, I was telling you, when someone buys a red shoe, when they buy a red shoe, they'll start seeing everyone has a red shoe. When you buy a range, when you think, not even buy, when you think about a particular car, you'll start seeing it everywhere. You must see your house as finished. You must see your house having the things that you see outside of your home, irrespective of the present circumstance. It has no choice but to conform. The key is hold fast to the profession of your faith. In other words, like I've said before, it takes about 30 days, could possibly less, for something to enter deep inside of you and be able to change your world. So hold fast onto it. See your home as it, and it will have to, it has no choice. It has to conform. It has to conform. That's the best I can say. We could say a lot of things about that, but that's the best I can say for now. Your question.
Relating or introducing the subconscious to consciousness and the power it has.
This is by far my favorite question, and I'll say that because I wasn't sure if I should go into consciousness, subconscious, and super conscious, and you know, because people are like, man, what's this stuff? And it also sounds new age.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you see, no religion owns words.
Mm-hmm.
If I call an angel an extraterrestrial, extraterrestrial just means out of this world.
Yes.
But someone will say, man, you believe in aliens and what? But if you think about it, they actually are aliens. These angels actually.
They're aliens to this world.
To this world. So people want to give religions words, English words. Anyway, so there's your conscious. Your consciousness is what you're aware of. Because you might have been listening to this audio and you don't even, you're like, what? I'm conscious. Yeah, I think I'm doing well. I'm conscious. But then there is the subconscious, which McLean is bringing up. Your subconscious, what's in your subconscious is truly what you are conscious of. Because you see, I can be conscious of this room, but when I leave it, I won't be conscious of it. Your subconscious is what creates your reality. So for example, the scripture says, the Bible says, the spirit of a man sustains him, his infirmity. What that means is that what is in your spirit is what will sustain whatever comes your way. So you will know a word, really, you've really captured a word, you've been conscious of it, if the first response to a situation is in line with that word. That means it's in your subconscious. So for example, I was telling people here that if you're sick and your first reaction is to run to a doctor, there's no one you can lie to that you believe God can heal. You can believe it with your mind, but it hasn't entered your subconscious. Now, is it bad to go to hospital? Please feel free. It's not bad, because you see, even the Good Samaritan took the guy to the hospital. It's in the Bible. And Jesus is the one telling the parable and calls him good. Why? He took a guy to the hospital and even paid the bills. All right? So there's nothing wrong with taking someone to hospital. But the same Jesus then goes and heals people. If you come across someone sick and your first reaction is to take them to the hospital instead of laying hands to heal, that means there's no one you can lie to, including yourself, that you believe deep inside of you that you can heal. The first response to a thing is the sign that something is in your subconscious, and therefore it is something you are conscious about. When I talk about awareness, you will see, we often see what has entered our subconscious. Okay, so I'll give you an example. I've given one of healing, but I'll give you another one of money. if someone comes banging on your door for rent and your first response is panic, and you got this house miraculously set through prophecy, let's say it's not prophecy, let's say you know the hand of God was involved in it, and you say, Rabbi, people are looking at you and they're like, she has got it. She has got it. She has got this financial thing. And then you started convincing yourself that you actually got it. Then the landlord knocks for rent and you start panicking. You don't got it.
Not yet.
Why? Because when you've tapped into a source, the source does not randomly just disconnect. You can always replicate something. You will know that you have captured something in the spirit when you can reproduce it at will. Now there are degrees to it. The first level is when you reproduce something after a while, gradually. But when you can reproduce it at will, you have entered the realm of mastery. I teach at will. I've mastered the art of it, but I do not say there are no higher levels above it. There are. Because Enoch was teaching constellations. Constellations! A person is teaching constellations and angels sit there and they ask him things. I am nowhere yet. Okay? You say you're right. But someone is interpreting, in the Bible, someone is interpreting a hand that's writing on the wall. Now, a language that does not exist. You say you're a reader. Try to read that. Okay? So there are higher levels. So your subconscious is not what... is not what you think you're aware of naturally. It's the things that are planted in your spirit that your first response to things shows what you are actually conscious of.
Reflex action.
I would call them your reflex action. So when this, so I remember I shared this in one of my sermons. Someone walked in. One time I was at home. Walked into a room and saw a guy in the middle of the night sitting in my living room. Looked at it and just walked on, went to get some water. And I kept on telling myself, whatever you do, do not talk to this person. Don't say anything. Just go. Went, closed the door. And I knew this was a spiritual being. I am almost certain some of you, the first word would be, Mommy! The reason is because in your subconscious, you're like, if anything shows up in the middle of the night, I'm going to scream. Okay? So I had to get myself away from that stance. Yeah? So I'm encouraging you. It takes 30 days maximum. That's maximum to put something into your subconscious. You just have to repeat. Imagine you training yourself to prophesy, to see in the spirit. It will become so part of you that you will start seeing things at will. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of the season. Thank you for the roller coaster ride. We've had some laughters. We've had some tears. Have we? No tears. We've touched some deep things, touched some shallow things. But either way, we know that we move from glory to glory.
Yes.
So I pray that the Lord keeps you, the Lord keeps teaching you. The next time we meet, you'll be at a higher level than you are at now. God bless you. See you next time.
Amen. Thank you for listening to the RDM podcast. Join us next time to discover more secrets, dimensions, and depth. To find out more about Rabbi Daniel Malinga Ministries, please visit www.rabbidanielmalinga.com. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram @RabbiDanielMalinga.